For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Haven't gotten over to see Afterglow, Buffalo United Artists at the Alleyway, but I guess you did.
I did, and I had seen the New York production also. I admire the play, S. Asher Gilman, interesting play about a menage.
A menage a trois?
Well, kind of. Is it a menage if it's a couple and they bring in a third person, and then one of the people falls in love with the third person and the other one does not?
So I hate when that happens.
Hate when that happens. Open relationships always work well, but at any rate, that's the plot of the play, BUA. I believe it is the very first production anywhere subsequent to New York, and Todd Fuller directing, and with a very new cast, Jonathan Bechner, Christopher Clark, Mickey Harmon, and I guess when you've seen it, we should talk about it some more, but that's the setup, a lot of new talent, and it's attracting a lot of interest.
And I guess we both got over to A Doll's House Part 2, a good cast. I have to admit, when it was all over, I went back and read the script, and I found reading the script was funnier than being in the theater.
Well, I think that there you hit the nail right on the head. I'd seen the New York production, though it's not necessary to have seen Ibsen's Doll's House. Doll's House is one of the great plays of the modern era, for many signaling the modern drama. And it's a play in which Nora, realizing that her marriage is a dead end and her husband sees her as a child and a piece of property, leaves, famously slamming the door. So what happened to Nora? For generations, people have wondered what becomes of her. And Lucas Gnaeth concocting this 15 years later when Nora comes back and has a reason to come back through this large door, because everyone remembers Nora slammed the door. Well, in the Broadway production, as in the script, there is a large contrast between the new woman, this modern woman who comes back, and the 19th century world into which she returns. And this generates great comedy, particularly between Nora and the maid, who just gets frustrated talking to her, and this culminates in a great punctuating thing. But we seldom get any flashes of that level of comedy. Toward the second act, which threw me for a bit of a loop because there's only one act, they've added an intermission, which doesn't help. But in that second half where she does some headbanging and stuff like this, we're beginning to approximate it, but it never quite revs up to that level. And on Broadway, the role of Nora was originated by Laurie Metcalf. People know her from The Roseanne Show, great comic actress, originally from Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. And she was replaced by Julie White, another great Broadway comic actress. It was so successful it went through a change of cast. I saw it with Julie White and Buffalo's Stephen McKinley Henderson. Marvelously funny.
A Doll's House Part 2. It's at the Cavanoke through Thanksgiving weekend. Got over to see A Fool for Love. American Repertory Theater has taken over the old theater loft at 545 Elmwood Avenue. Three people with one of those great Sam Shepard plays. There's always that hint of impending violence in the air. So, man, you sit up and pay attention. I love Steve Jakiel as the old man. If you just went to see him, you would be well rewarded.
Well, I did pick up one that you had seen last week, but I hadn't. Mother Jones in Heaven and Hell, a musical by Cy Kahn, over at Subversive, directed by Drew McCabe with Jim Gehrig and Melissa Leventhal as Mother Jones, who is wonderful.
Isn't she?
Yeah.
What a sweet voice.
Yeah, beautiful voice and a great characterization. The piece is not all that, you know. It's an interesting little litany of the history of Mother Jones and some of the controversies of her life. Not fabulous as drama, but there is this terrific performance.
Did get over to the Irish Classical Theater. This sad story of Sive, a young girl who is being manipulated by her relatives. It was chilling and wonderfully produced, I thought.
I will see it this weekend, and we can have a more in-depth talk next.
I want to ask you about The Three Musketeers. And my problem is, well, first off, I think I have part of the answer. It was adapted by three people. So it was sort of adapted from the novel by Dumas, by a committee. But it seemed there were too many storylines going on, and I wasn't happy with the conclusion.
The adaptation is not especially strong. To focus on what the show has to recommend it, Chris Kelly is a very good director. Wonderful little character bits by Melinda Karpeles. Patrick Cameron makes a delightful D'Artagnan. And The Three Musketeers, each one more charming than the one before. And so I will scramble the order so you can't know who's the most charming. So it's Steve Copps and Christopher Avery and Anthony Alcocer, and they're wonderful. And as the women, Kate LoConte is the deliciously evil milady, and everyone loves Renee Landrigan, who is Constance. Oh, and Cassie Cameron, both as the sexy queen of France and a nun. Yeah. What wonderful talent. But given a script that is unexciting. This is a challenge. And they tried to buoy some life under it with fight episodes, which are long. Oh, dear, they're going to fight again. Check, watch. So it's kind of what happens. I do think that very young audiences, not so much, but maybe that middle range would find that exciting. And I understand that school groups have been having a good time in this production of The Three Musketeers.
Well, there you go. Take your middle school or your high school.
Yeah, there you are.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.